this morning, I am joined by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney on our Smart Garden Show this Saturday morning. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Denny. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, and I hope you are as well. It's good to have you back. And as usual, here we are in the growing season, and boy, things are growing. We already have a lot of questions to get answered. But if you do have any kind of a lawn or garden question for Teresa, by all means, you can call it in if you like, or you can text it in. Either way, here's the number, 651-461-9226. How has your garden been growing, Teresa?
Oh, the weeds are doing excellent, Dan. Just excellently.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And Okay, I think we're going to have to switch processes here. Let's do that. Teresa's having a little technical difficulty. Okay, and there's a... All right, we are back, we hope, and welcoming your questions, your lawn and garden questions for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Let me give you the phone number. Again, this also happens to be our text number, 651-461-9226. And while we're waiting for Teresa Rooney to come back, by the way, if you just... All right, she is back. Teresa, are we connected better this time?
I hope we're connected better this time.
Yes.
Isn't technology wonderful?
It really is. We're so limited. But it's good to have you back here. Good. I'm glad we're connected. Again, we have a lot of questions already this morning, which I guess isn't surprising for this time of the season. All right, let's get to it because we have so many already. First one in here is when and how to stake bell pepper plants.
If you're going to stake any plant, stake it as quickly as when you put it in, like the tomatoes. Most bell pepper plants don't need staking, but you can use a tomato cage on them just also, or just a small bamboo stick because they're not going to get too huge, and then just gently tie it with some twisty ties or some soft cloth to stake as it grows.
Okay.
And just make it soft so that the plant can still move.
All right. Very good. Good question. I appreciate the Garden Show every week. Thank you for that. Is it okay to remove dead branches from oak trees?
That's a really good question. And just so everybody knows, we appreciate the audience out there. Yes, you can remove dead oak branches whenever you see them. In fact, it's actually best to remove dead branches and trees as quickly as you can. Otherwise, the wind may knock them down, and they could damage living branches, and then you have to have more cleanup. Or they could fall on you or someone walking by or on your car. So it's wonderful to remove them as quickly as you can. Yes, you can remove dead oak branches.
Okay. Another texter says this, Teresa, the leaves on my lilac bushes are curling up. Could this be due to all of the rain?
It could be, but it's probably not. I would want to look at the lilac and see, is it all of the leaves? Is it leaves just on one side? Is it just one branch? Try to figure out what you're seeing. And then if you can't figure out what's happening, you may want to take some pictures of what you're seeing, even a close-up of a leaf, and then send it to the Master Gardeners. You can find that link on Ask a Master Gardener at extension.umn.edu.
Great website, extension.umn.edu. You will be hearing us mentioning that every show, every hour of every show. This texter says this, Teresa, I have spider mites on a hanging fuchsia and aphids on a large hanging calabracoa. I've heard that spraying the plants with soapy water will kill the pests, but I've also read that soap can damage the protective coating on the leaves. What are your thoughts?
That's a really good question, and I'm glad you asked that. There are soaps and there are detergents. A soap is going to be your better bet. Like, you want to use an insecticidal soap that you might purchase at the garden center. Read and understand the labels. Never spray in full sunlight. You may even want to do a test spray on the plant the day before, just like you might test something on your skin to see if you're allergic a few days before you actually use it fully or whatever. You don't want to use a detergent like Dawn dishwashing detergent. I'm just throwing out a name there, because that's a degreaser. So you're totally correct. You want to use a soap, not a detergent.
Okay, very good. Good question. 651-461-9226.
You want to use a soap, not a detergent.
Okay, very good. Good question. 651-461-9226 for your phone call or text question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Here's another one. I have a wheelbarrow full of older potting soil. Is there a way of amending it to put on my lawn and seed?
Sure. If you want to mix a little compost in there, fluff it all up, and then just put it gently put it just maybe a half an inch thick on top of your lawn, and then make sure when you're going to put the seeds down, you have really good seed-to-soil contact. We're just at about the end, or we are at the end of seeding your lawn, because the weather's going to get hot, and by the time those little seedlings start coming up, it's going to be much warmer, and it's going to be much harder for you to keep that moist all season. So you may want to, unless you're just filling in a few holes here and there to get it done quickly, wait till the fall to do this, or late
fall. All right. And we'll take a break here in a moment. I want to get another question answered. Is it too late in the season to use apple maggot? I'm sure they need a trap or spray for my apple trees. And what do you think about using those for apple maggot traps or sprays? What works best?
Okay, so it's probably actually too early to use the apple maggot traps yet. I don't think the fly is in. Normally she comes in about the third week of June, but you can put it up early and then just watch and see what kind of traps you're getting. If you're using a spray, use it according to the instructions, and it probably will tell you wait till you see the flies and then use the spray. If you're using the traps, you will actually be able to test when the fly is there and that you're attracting the fly.
All right. Let's grab a phone call before we break. Tony is calling in from Minneapolis this morning. Tony, what is your question for Teresa?
Yeah, I have two William Baffin roses. They're fairly old, and they have, this is the first year ever, they have like these window pane-like areas on the leaves, and I wonder what that mm-hmm. might be and what I can do.
Okay, this is really early, but maybe it's not. What you're seeing there, Tony, is called a rose slug, and it's actually a small little worm or caterpillar that you will see on the leaves, and what they do is they actually have scraping mouthparts. So they just scrape off one part of the leaf, just the top part of the leaf or the bottom part of the leaf, and they leave the rest there, and then that just drops up and looks like little window panes. One, you look at it, and you'll say there's no slugs on here. They're little like caterpillars, about maybe half an inch to an inch long. They're light green, and you won't see them until you see them, and then your eye will catch them where they are. They don't do any damage. Normally, they just go in some parts of the plant, and then they go off and they do whatever they're going to do. It's all just cosmetic damage. So you can use a spray if you want to. You go to your garden center and tell them you're having rose slugs. Otherwise, just wait until everything goes. You can also just pick them off if you want to.
All right. Very good. We'll take a quick break. I want to alert Susan, you're going to be next on the phone, and we have other text messages to get answered as well. 651-461-9226. 58 degrees now in the Twin Cities. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good morning. Once again, welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO Radio every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering all those lawn and garden questions this morning at 651-461-9226. Teresa, phone callers and texters. So let's put you back to work. Susan has been waiting there in Roseville for a question to get answered. Susan, thank you. What is your question, please?
Yeah, hi, it's Suzanne, and thank you for taking my call. This
sure.
is a wonderful program.
Thank you.
I have, for the first time, I have been growing lilies forever, but I have these scarlet lily beetles that I've looked up. I checked the extension website. I didn't see anything on there, so I just kind of did some other research, and they are so messy, but they have stripped my beautiful Asiatic lilies. and the leaves, I mean, they're just attacking them, and they're now getting towards the buds. And I'm not sure what I'm reading. It's like I have to go out there and clean each leaf. And if I were to do that, I wouldn't have any time in the day. Any suggestions?
I don't know.
They're gross.
Yeah, you know, with our warmer weather, it's kind of hard. I don't know anything about these specific beetles. I guess I would, you may want to even, if you can, just cut back what you can so it doesn't look so bad. You could go to the garden center and see if they have anything that lists for beetles. Otherwise, maybe just let them cycle through and hopefully they'll be gone. I'm going to do some research on a break for you, Susan, so I'll figure out if I can find anything else for you. But yeah, you have a life. You can't be out there spending and wiping off all this. All right. Maybe give them a good spray of water. Suddenly that might knock some of them off and clean some of it up. But I don't know anything more, so I'm going to have to do some research on those, Susan.
A little homework. Okay. Thanks, Suzanne.
A little homework.
Let's grab another call before we get back to text questions. Joe is calling in this morning from iSanity. Joe, thank you. What is your question?
Yes, I've got some bur oak seeds, and how should I try to start those? Just put them in the ground or try it in pots and then transplant
you,
them
you
later?
Could start. If that's a good question. You could, what I would do is I would kind of take a nail file and just kind of break the seed coat a little bit, break that acorn coat just a little bit, scratch it up so the water can get in. I would probably start them in pots unless you have a nursery garden that you can put them in, a garden where they can grow for a year or two, and then you can dig them up and move them on. Or if you want to plant them in place, you could also just plant them in place and then just put up a protective fence so that the bunnies don't nip them off and the deer don't nip them off. And then I'd even put a little top on it, a little like chicken wire all around it with a top, like a cylinder with a top of chicken wire, so the squirrels don't dig them up again. And then just be very patient because it's going to take them a little while to grow.
Okay, very good. Boy, text messages. Here's another one. Yellow spots in the lawn. I treated the lawn with a fungus treatment. Do you think my grass will die where it's yellow, or do you think it'll recover?
I would hope that it would recover if you treated it with the right thing, and you're not overwatering. So if you do have an in-ground watering system, make sure it's getting the right amount of water, not too much, and then it's coming that you're sprinkling early in the morning so that with the winds in the morning and the afternoon, that grass can dry off a little bit, and then it can resist fungal infections. You don't want to be watering late at night where it can just sit there all night long with wet grass leaves. I would just watch it and hope for the best, and I think it probably will come back. I can't guarantee that. I don't know what you put down and what fungus you're fighting.
If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions for you this morning. Here's another one. Texter says, I'm having trouble growing green pole beans. I planted twice. The first time I didn't soak them. Second time I soaked them, and nothing is coming up. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong. Is there a method special about beans?
There isn't. Beans are one of the fastest seeds to sprout. What I would do is, if you have the same packet, take one or two beans if you have extra. If it's an old packet, I would just plant them all and hope for the best. Do not soak them because they don't want to be soaked. They can get waterlogged and killed very quickly. I would just try planting them again. If you have a lot more time, you can do a test to see how quickly they germinate. It should say they should germinate in a very short time, 1 to 5 days. So you could even just put them in a damp paper towel in a half-open Ziploc bag in your house and see if those beans are actually germinating. If they're germinating, then perhaps something else is happening where they're coming up, and maybe you have cutworms or you have birds or you have squirrels that are digging things up. So then just put a protective cover over the soil so that those beans can come up and get growing before they get nipped off by the critters.
Okay.
But don't soak the seeds.
Don't soak them. I noticed in the last couple of shows, Teresa, that we've had comments or questions about those whirlybirds. Here's another text says, we have a soft maple. We're wondering if the seeds or whirlybirds will come this year, or do they come in alternate years?
No, they come every year. It's probably just a little too early. I have some maples in the back. I haven't seen them seeding yet. It's just a little too early. Some years they'll be heavier, some years they'll be lighter, but most years you'll get some. We just haven't seen any of the little whirly birds yet. It's just a little too early, I think.
All right. A listener wants to know, why do you think the pepper plant leaves are turning yellow?
It could be because you're overwatering or underwatering. If they're coming from the bottom, it could just be that they're not getting enough shade. I would look and check the leaves to make sure there's no insects on there, like spider mites or something like that. If you're not seeing any insects, no aphids or anything, pick off those yellowing leaves. They're not helping your plant at all. And make sure that you're not overwatering or underwatering, and it should recover for you if it's in the right location and getting enough sun and you're keeping it just moist, not super wet, not super dry.
Let's see if we're going to be getting more moisture here when we look at that forecast. That's next here on CCO, and then we'll have about another half hour of our Smart Garden Show. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830 WCCO. 619226 from News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show this Saturday morning. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is answering all those lawn and garden questions. You know, we always like to mention, for good reason, the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. I don't usually use the whole name there when we talk about it, but it's such a great resource, and I head out in that neighborhood quite often, and boy, a lot of people do the same thing. What a great resource.
It is an amazing resource. Now, the ARB will be closing early on the 13th because they're having gala in the garden. The tickets are sold out for that. But speaking of tickets, the ticketing procedure has changed, so go to the Arboretum's website and get the details on that. But they still have plant walks and discovery booths. You can even watch beekeepers sometimes, what's going on up at the bee area. They have the farm at the Arboretum, the Bee Center. There's just so much to see at the Arboretum. Definitely go there. It's an amazing place. And right now the peonies and the roses and the clematis are blooming, so life is good.
It really is. Great place. All right. We have a business to take care of. If you have a lawn or garden question, we have many. 651-461-9226. Teresa, here is another one. Yeah.
If we could just go back to Suzanne with her red beetle question, her lily beetles.
You did a little homework.
A little research. I don't have a lot of good information. But what you can do, Suzanne, is you can go out there just like for Japanese beetles with soapy water and knock them into the soapy water. That will control them. Any eggs you see, squish them on the leaf or take the leaf off. And they sound like really awful little insects. They cover themselves with bird poop, so they look like bird poop. I mean, it just sounds gross. You can also, now there's going to be more than one generation per year. So what you may want to do is put some diatomaceous earth around the bottom of the lilies. This is going to be hard because every time diatomaceous earth gets wet, it loses its effectiveness. But what you're trying to do is when the larvae come up, you're trying to make them scratch their bodies on the diatomaceous earth and die. That's kind of bad. Then cut down your lilies a little earlier toward the fall than you normally would. And keep adding diatomaceous earth because the larvae keep coming up and they do overwinter in the soil. So start that diatomaceous earth right again in the spring. Just gently and kind of scruffle it into the soil around the plant and keep applying it and keep applying it. Maybe every time it gets wet or whenever, you're going to have to do a lot of that. Do clean up the debris really well in the fall. Put it in a bag and don't send it to the compost bin. Put it in a bag and just get rid of it or burn it. And just keep after it.
you can get ahead of them. We need a nice winter to kill all the beetles, but they are pretty destructive. So good luck with that, Dan. And now I'm ready for the next question, Danny.
Good deal. All right. Thanks for that. Texter says, my soil in my garden is so hard, it's hard for me to grow good-sized onions or others in ground veggies. What can I do to add to my soil to loosen it up in the years down the road?
Okay. What you want to do is make sure you're not walking on your soil, so try not to walk where you're going to put the onions. And then you can add some nice compost, mix that well into the soil. You may even want to add some perlite that you would get at the garden center or a garden store and mix that into the soil, too. That will kind of add little spacers into the soil, sort of what it does. But the compost will really help loosen up that soil for you. And make sure in the wintertime, when we start going into winter, that you do cover the soil with either leaves or straw. You want to protect that soil top so it doesn't get damaged by the snow and the frost and everything else.
Okay. Texter says this, one of my Echinacea coneflower plants has reddish-green foliage. Is this normal or does it have a problem?
I'm not sure what it could be a deficiency. If it's a special kind of Echinacea, I don't think that they're growing them for weird colored foliage. So it's probably not that. But if it's just one plant, I would just watch that plant very carefully. I don't think Aster Yellows presents like that in the foliage. It's more the flower, so you don't have to worry about that I'm aware of. I would just watch it, maybe give a little compost or a little fertilizer to the plants in that area just to correct if there's some micronutrient that's missing. And I would just watch the plant.
Okay. Tomato plant question. In the past, Texter says our tomatoes have gotten tomato blossom end rot or giving us rotten tomatoes. What can we do to prevent that?
Okay, so the short question is it's your fault because you aren't watering correctly. Sometimes we get too much rain, not enough. We overwater, we underwater, we let it go dry, and the plant just... the roots die, and there's less roots in there to bring up the calcium that's needed to create to finish off the flower. There's not enough healthy calcium in the plant. So you don't want to add calcium to your soil. That's not going to help. Our soils are fine the way they are. What you want to do is make sure that you even out the watering so the soil stays moist all the time, just slightly moist like a rock sponge. That would be the perfect atmosphere for it, or the perfect soil, the moisture in the soil. So just balance out the watering. You can still eat those tomatoes with blossom end rot. Just cut off the rotten part on the end. You can grow varieties that fruit later in the season so that they go past, they're bigger, and they go past that time when you have the small plant getting impacted by uneven watering. If we get a whole bunch of rain, there's nothing you can really do about that, so you just have to deal with it and hope your tomato gets through it okay. Also, the smaller varieties, like the cherry tomatoes, aren't going to get blossom end rot. They don't need as much for each little fruit, so their fruits complete okay. Some Roma tomatoes will also not get blossom end rot. So, and if you put them in the ground, your plants in the ground, you often have less chance of overwatering or underwatering. It's those pots that dry out so quickly that we mess it up with not watering properly. Mm. So even watering is what you're looking for.
Very good. This listener had a garage built doing significant landscaping around it. They say we have some 2 and 3 year old cattle compost. How much compost can we mix with the dug up soil that they've had since the construction? What do you think a ratio?
You know, I used to tell. Okay, that's a good question. I used to tell people, oh, just put it all in. But now I'm thinking, like, if you want to do a 4-to-1, so 4 part soil to 1 part compost would be fine. And then you can just leave that, the rest of it sit and still compost, and then just add some more compost at the end of the season. And then just keep adding at the beginning and the end of each season would be just fine till you use up your stock of compost. So probably about a quarter. So if you can think 25% per compost and then the other part per soil.
Okay. Listener says this, Teresa, my lawn company just sprayed for grubs on Wednesday, but I have a hedge of cotoneaster that the Asian beetles are already on. Were the grubs sprayed too late, do you think?
Probably not. If there's grubs in the soil, they sometimes, it's fine. I would be out there though with your bucket of soapy water and knocking off those, if what you mean is Japanese beetles, knocking off those beetles as quickly as possible. When you see Japanese beetles, the first ones that come out when they start eating on the plant, that the plant then secretes a pheromone or a smell that attracts other beetles. It's kind of like when you smell a good barbecue in the neighborhood, you might, oh, I want to go over to that house. So you want to knock back that first initial population as quickly and as thoroughly as you can so that the smell of something being eaten does not waft through the air and attract more beetles. And you should be fine. Good luck.
Another question from a listener. When should boxwoods be trimmed?
I would go to the extension website for sure, but I think you can trim them now. And the last trimming would probably be August 1st if you're making a nice tight hedge. But go ahead and trim them to shape now would be just fine.
All right, very good. We need to take a quick break. We'll do that very thing, and when we come back, we'll grab another phone call. Catherine, you're going to be next, so don't go away here on our Smart Garden Show. News Talk 830 WCCO. Another phone call. Catherine, you're going to be next, so don't go away here on our Smart Garden Show. News Talk 830 WCCO. Minutes of our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering all of those lawn and garden questions. Teresa, we still have so many, and we can see how many we get to. But let's grab another phone call. Catherine's been waiting there in Blaine. Catherine, thank you. What is your question?
Good morning, guys. Thanks so much. I really appreciate this. I love your show. Anyway, what I was going to ask was, okay, so I've got endless summer hydrangeas that I just put in. They're beautiful. So how can I assure that they're going to come back next year? What do I need to do for fertilizer? And I know that loamus is the right kind of, soil that you need. But what is the fertilizer that I need to get for that?
Okay, Catherine, thanks for waiting. You were very patient, and we love you too. Now, what you want for the endless summer is they like a nice, rich soil. So you can always add compost. If you want to make color of the flower go blue, you need to add a fertilizer that will be acidic. So it'll say for azaleas and pine trees and something like that, it can be a granular or a water where you mix it up. If you don't care if they turn blue, pink, purple, whatever color flower, then just add a regular 10-10-10 fertilizer that you would add to your garden. So any of your garden plants, they need moderate sun. So not maybe bright, bright sun, but they need more sun than just the shade azalea might take. So your Annabelles were okay in the shade. These endless summers need a little bit more sun. Don't cut them down in the fall. You may want to protect them so the rabbits don't eat them. And then in the spring, they're sometimes slow to emerge, slow to wake up. So just be patient in the spring. Cut back what's dead in the spring. And then if you need to, if it gets really big and bushy, you can trim it to shape, whatever you want to do. Some get big, some get small. It just depends on the plants. They're kind of uneven in that respect. But they are a heavy feeder. So do feed them once a month, probably at the first of the month or whenever, up until the first part of August, and then stop feeding them. And they should be, you should have a good plant there. Good luck, Catherine. Yeah, good luck.
Very good. Very good. This listener, Teresa, has a peace plant which was so large, they divided it into three, gave one to each of the children, kept one. Theirs have continued to blossom since I've done the split. Mine has stopped blossoming. I'm wondering if I stop fertilizing it, just giving it water, will that help? And perhaps maybe they're fertilizing it too much, or she is.
You know, you may want to back off on the fertilizing to your peace plant plant or peace lily. Half strength would be fine. Maybe every other week do that. They kind of like a little smaller pot, so they often bloom when they get a little tight. So that was a big stress on the plant to just be divided like that. It could be that the other plant parts were had a little more root system to them, so they came back a little faster, so everybody else's looks better. Make sure it's not in a huge pot. If you need to repot it now, is a good time. Go ahead and repot it into a nice sized pot, so it's not too big, not too tiny. And then just fertilize at half strength and keep it happy. It'll bloom for you again. Just be patient with it.
All right. Listener wants to know, Teresa, when is the best time to move my overcrowded irises and what's the best procedure?
Okay, so the best time to move your irises is after they finish blooming, and then wait about 6 to 8 weeks later, or 6 weeks later. That'll probably put you in the, you know, the end of July into August. And then the best way to do that is to cut back the leaves to about 6 inches, so you'll have all these fans, and then lift the corms. They kind of look like bulbs, but lift the corms, divide them as you want, and irises walk, so they'll move in one direction, and you'll be able to see you have the mother corm, and then there'll be daughter corms coming off of that, and that's the direction that the iris will walk in the future. So plant them so they walk away from each other a little bit. That will help. And then when you do replant them, make sure you leave the back of the corm slightly above the soil so you can see that. Plant them back into a nice compost soil, so with some compost, and they'll be fine. They should even bloom for you next year, probably, if the daughters are big enough. And irises are beautiful. Good luck with that. Those are for the bearded iris.
A couple of minutes to go in the show, Teresa. Here's another one. How deep to dig up a volunteer pin oak that is about a foot tall?
You know, that's going to have a pretty deep root, so I'd go down maybe a foot or deeper if you can. You may accidentally hurt that root there, but go down probably about a foot, and then carefully move it, and then go ahead and plant it, and you should be okay. Make sure it's planted in the right spot and that you don't replant it deeply. You want to replant it how it is in the soil.
Oh, okay. This listener's rhubarb plant has declined in healthy hardiness over the last 2 years. The stalks are now small. The leaves turn yellow. What should I do to return it to normal?
Rhubarb can be heavy feeders, so do add some compost to the soil or some fertilizer. If you can add some organic thing to the soil, that will help. And make sure that you're not overwatering or underwatering it. And then look up, because sometimes when we plant things, trees grow and they start to shade those areas, and we're not aware of that. Your rhubarb really wants full sun. So if it's not in full sun, you may want to just either dig it up right now, right immediately, or wait till next year and then move it to a full sun spot with a good, rich, compost-rich soil.
All right, 60 seconds or less to go, and you know what? I'd like to remind our listeners to check out. You even mentioned, as we always like to do, Ask a Master Gardener, but there's so many things to find from the university's website.
There's amazing things on extension.un.edu, flowers and trees and shrubs and lawns. Oh, my. You can also learn about classes. I just signed up this morning for an insect class, and it's a series, and it's free. So go ahead and look at the Extension website and ask a master gardener. You can send them information there.
Yeah, extension.umn.edu. And don't forget to head to the Arboretum. Teresa, always a pleasure. I know we're going to do this again.
We will. It's my pleasure, Denny. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney here on A3OWCCO. 58 degrees right now. Should be clearing out with highs around 76. We'll get to details in a moment. Stay with us. News Talk A3O. This is WCCO. And this morning I am joined by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney on our Smart Garden Show this Saturday morning. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Denny. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, and I hope you are as well. It's good to have you back. And as usual, here we are in the growing season, and boy, things are growing. We already have a lot of questions to get answered. But if you do have any kind of a lawn or garden question for Teresa, by all means, you can call it in if you like, or you can text it in. Either way, here's the number, 651-461-9226. How has your garden been growing, Teresa?
Oh, the weeds are doing excellent, Dan. Just excellently.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I've got to get... Okay, I think we're going to have to switch processes here. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. Teresa's having a little technical difficulty. Okay, and there's a... All right, we are back, we hope, and welcoming your questions, your lawn and garden questions for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Let me give you the phone number. Again, this also happens to be our text number, 651-461-9226. And while we're waiting for Teresa Rooney to come back, by the way, if you just... All right, she is back. Teresa, are we connected better this time?
I hope we're connected better this time.
Yes.
Isn't technology wonderful?
It really is. We're so limited. But it's good to have you back here. Good. I'm glad we're connected. Again, we have a lot of questions already this morning, which I guess isn't surprising for this time of the season. All right, let's get to it because we have so many already. First one in here is when and how to stake bell pepper plants.
If you're going to stake any plant, stake it as quickly as when you put it in, like the tomatoes. Most bell pepper plants don't need staking, but you can use a tomato cage on them just also, or just a small bamboo stick because they're not going to get too huge, and then just gently tie it with some twisty ties or some soft cloth to stake as it grows.
Okay.
And just make it soft so that the plant can still move.
All right. Very good. Good question. I appreciate the Garden Show every week. Thank you for that. Is it okay to remove dead branches from oak trees?
That's a really good question. And just so everybody knows, we appreciate the audience out there. Yes, you can remove dead oak branches whenever you see them. In fact, it's actually best to remove dead branches and trees as quickly as you can. Otherwise, the wind may knock them down, and they could damage living branches, and then you have to have more cleanup. Or they could fall on you or someone walking by or on your car. So it's wonderful to remove them as quickly as you can. Yes, you can remove dead oak branches.
Okay. Another texter says this, Teresa, the leaves on my lilac bushes are curling up. Could this be due to all of the rain?
It could be, but it's probably not. I would want to look at the lilac and see, is it all of the leaves? Is it leaves just on one side? Is it just one branch? Try to figure out what you're seeing. And then if you can't figure out what's happening, you may want to take some pictures of what you're seeing, even a close-up of a leaf, and then send it to the Master Gardeners. You can find that link on Ask a Master Gardener at Extension. umn.edu.
Great website, extension.umn.edu. You will be hearing us mentioning that every show, every hour of every show. This texter says this, Teresa, I have spider mites on a hanging fuchsia and aphids on a large hanging calabracoa. I've heard that spraying the plants with soapy water will kill the pests, but I've also read that soap can damage the protective coating on the leaves. What are your thoughts?
That's a really good question, and I'm glad you asked that. There are soaps and there are detergents. A soap is going to be your better bet. Like, you want to use an insecticidal soap that you might purchase at the garden center. Read and understand the labels. Never spray in full sunlight. You may even want to do a test spray on the plant the day before, just like you might test something on your skin to see if you're allergic a few days before you actually use it fully or whatever. You don't want to use a detergent like Dawn dishwashing detergent. I'm just throwing out a name there because that's a degreaser. So you're totally correct. You want to use a soap, not a detergent.
Okay, very good. Good question. 651-461-9226.
You want to use a soap, not a detergent.
Okay, very good. Good question. 651-461-9226 for your phone call or text question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Here's another one. I have a wheelbarrow full of older potting soil. Is there a way of amending it to put on my lawn and seed?
Sure. If you want to mix a little compost in there, fluff it all up, and then just put it gently or put it just maybe a half an inch thick on top of your lawn, and then make sure when you're going to put the seeds down, you have really good seed-to-soil contact. We're just at about the end, or we are at the end of seeding your lawn, because the weather's going to get hot, and by the time those little seedlings start coming up, it's going to be much warmer, and it's going to be much harder for you to keep that moist all season. So you may want to, unless you're just filling in a few holes here and there to get it done quickly, wait till the fall to do this, or late summer.
All right. And we'll take a break here in a moment. I want to get another question answered. Is it too late in the season to use apple maggot? I'm sure they need a trap or spray for my apple trees. And what do you think about using those for apple maggot traps or sprays? What works best?
Okay, so it's probably actually too early to use the apple maggot traps yet. I don't think the fly is in. Normally she comes in about the third week of June, but you can put it up early and then just watch and see what kind of traps you're getting. If you're using a spray, use it according to the instructions, and it probably will tell you wait till you see the flies and then use the spray. If you're using the traps, you will actually be able to test when the fly is there and that you're attracting the fly.
All right. Let's grab a phone call before we break. Tony is calling in from Minneapolis this morning. Tony, what is your question for Teresa?
Yeah, I have two William Baffin roses. They're fairly old. And they have, this is the first year ever, they have like these window pane-like areas on the leaves. And I wonder what that mm-hmm. might be and what I can do.
Okay, this is really early, but maybe it's not. What you're seeing there, Tony, is called a rose slug. And it's actually a small little worm or caterpillar that you will see on the leaves. And what they do is they actually have scraping moth parts. So they just scrape off one part of the leaf, just the top part of the leaf or the bottom part of the leaf, and they leave the rest there, and then that just dries up and looks like little window panes. One, you look at it, and you'll say there's no slugs on here. They're little like caterpillars, about maybe half an inch to an inch long. They're light green, and you won't see them until you see them, and then you will be, your eye will catch them where they are. They don't do any damage. Normally, they just go in some parts of the plant, and then they go off and they do whatever they're going to do. It's all just cosmetic damage. So you can use a spray if you want to. You go to your garden center and tell them you're having rose slugs. Otherwise, just wait until everything goes. You can also just pick them off if you want to.
All right. Very good. We'll take a quick break on Willard. Susan, you're going to be next on the phone, and we have other text messages to get answered as well. 651-461-9226. 58 degrees now in the Twin Cities. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good morning. Once again, welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO Radio every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering all those lawn and garden questions this morning at 651-461-9226. Teresa, phone callers and texters. So let's put you back to work. Susan has been waiting there in Roseville for a question to get answered. Susan, thank you. What is your question, please?
Yeah, hi, it's Suzanne, and thank you for taking my call. This sure. is a wonderful program.
Thank you.
I have, for the first time, I have been growing lilies forever, but I have these scarlet lily beetles that I've looked up. I checked the extension website. I didn't see anything on there, so I just kind of did some other research, and they are so messy, but they have stripped my beautiful Asiatic lilies. And the leaves, I mean, they're just attacking them, and they're now getting towards the buds. And I'm not sure what I'm reading. It's like I have to go out there and clean each leaf. And if I were to do that, I wouldn't have any time in the day. Any suggestions?
I don't know.
They're gross.
Yeah, you know, with our warmer weather, it's kind of hard. I don't know anything about these specific beetles. I guess I would, you may want to even, if you can, just cut back what you can so it doesn't look so bad. You could go to the garden center and see if they have anything that lists for beetles. Otherwise, maybe just let them cycle through and hopefully they'll be gone. I'm going to do some research on a break for you, Susan, so I'll figure out if I can find anything else for you. But yeah, you have a life. You can't be out there spending and wiping off all this. All right. Maybe give them a good spray of water. Suddenly that might knock some of them off and clean some of it up. But I don't know anything more, so I'm going to have to do some research on those, Susan.
Little homework. Okay, thanks, Suzanne.
A little homework.
Let's grab another call before we get back to text questions. Joe is calling in this morning from Isanti. Joe, thank you. What is your question?
Yes, I've got some bur oak seeds, and how should I try to start those? Just put them in the ground or try it in pots and then transplant them later?
You could start. That's a good question. You could, what I would do is I would kind of take a nail file and just kind of break the seed coat a little bit, break that acorn coat just a little bit, scratch it up so the water can get in. I would probably start them in pots unless you have a nursery garden that you can put them in, a garden where they can grow for a year or two and then you can dig them up and move them on. Or if you want to plant them in place, you could also just plant them in place and then just put up a protective fence so that the bunnies don't nip them off and the deer don't nip them off. And then I'd even put a little top on it, a little like chicken wire all around it with a top, like a cylinder with a top of chicken wire, so the squirrels don't dig them up again. And then just be very patient because it's going to take them a little while to grow.
Okay, very good. Boy, text messages. Here's another one. Yellow spots in the lawn. I treated the lawn with a fungus treatment. You think my grass will die where it's yellow, or you think it'll recover?
I would hope that it would recover if you treated it with the right thing, and you're not overwatering. So if you do have an in-ground watering system, make sure it's getting the right amount of water, not too much, and then it's coming that you're sprinkling early in the morning so that with the winds in the morning and the afternoon, that grass can dry off a little bit, and then it can resist fungal infections. You don't want to be watering late at night where it can just sit there all night long with wet grass leaves.
Okay. But
yeah, I would just watch it and hope for the best, and I think it probably will come back. I can't guarantee that. I don't know what you put down and what fungus you're fighting.
If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions for you this morning. Here's another one. Texter says, I'm having trouble growing green pole beans. I planted twice. The first time I didn't soak them. Second time I soaked them, and nothing is coming up. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong. Is there a method special about beans?
There isn't. Beans are one of the fastest seeds to sprout. What I would do is, if you have the same packet, take one or two beans if you have extra. If it's an old packet, I would just plant them all and hope for the best. Do not soak them because they don't want to be soaked. They can get waterlogged and killed very quickly. I would just try planting them again. If you have a lot more time, you can do a test to see how quickly they germinate. It should say they should germinate in a very short time, 1 to 5 days. So you could even just put them in a damp paper towel in a half-open Ziploc bag in your house and see if those beans are actually germinating. If they're germinating, then perhaps something else is happening where they're coming up and maybe you have cutworms or you have birds or you have squirrels that are digging things up. So then just put a protective cover over the soil so that those beans can come up and get growing before they get nipped off by the critters.
Okay.
But don't soak the seeds.
Don't soak them. I noticed in the last couple of shows, Teresa, that we've had comments or questions about those whirlybirds. Here's another text says, we have a soft maple. We're wondering if the seeds or whirlybirds will come this year or do they come in alternate years?
No, they come every year. It's probably just a little too early. I have some maples in the back. I haven't seen them seeding yet. It's just a little too early. Some years they'll be heavier, some years they'll be lighter, but most years you'll get some. We just haven't seen any of the little whirly birds yet. It's just a little too early, I think.
All right. A listener wants to know, why do you think the pepper plant leaves are turning yellow?
It could be because you're overwatering or underwatering. If they're coming from the bottom, it could just be that they're not getting enough shade. I would look and check the leaves to make sure there's no insects on there, like spider mites or something like that. If you're not seeing any insects, no aphids or anything, pick off those yellowing leaves. They're not helping your plant at all. And make sure that you're not overwatering or underwatering, and it should recover for you if it's in the right location and getting enough sun and you're keeping it just moist, not super wet, not super dry.
Let's see if we're going to be getting more moisture here when we look at that forecast. That's next here on CCO, and then we'll have about another half hour of our Smart Garden Show. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830 WCCO. 619226 from News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show this Saturday morning. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is answering all those lawn and garden questions. You know, we always like to mention, for good reason, the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. I don't usually use the whole name there when we talk about it, but it's such a great resource, and I head out in that neighborhood quite often, and boy, a lot of people do the same thing. What a great resource.
It is an amazing resource. Now, the ARB will be closing early on the 13th because they're having gala in the garden. The tickets are sold out for that. But speaking of tickets, the ticketing procedure has changed, so go to the Arboretum's website and get the details on that. But they still have plant walks and discovery booths. You can even watch beekeepers sometimes, what's going on up at the bee area. They have the farm at the Arboretum, the Bee Center. There's just so much to see at the Arboretum. Definitely go there. It's an amazing place. And right now the peonies and the roses and the clematis are blooming, so life is good.
It really is. Great place. All right. We have a business to take care of. If you have a lawn or garden question, we have many. 651-461-9226. Teresa, here is another one. Yeah.
If we could just go back to Suzanne with her red beetle question, her lily beetles.
You did a little homework.
A little research. I don't have a lot of good information. But what you can do, Suzanne, is you can go out there just like for Japanese beetles with soapy water and knock them into the soapy water. That will control them. Any eggs you see, squish them on the leaf or take the leaf off. And they sound like really awful little insects. They cover themselves with bird poop, so they look like bird poop. I mean, it just sounds gross. You can also, now there's going to be more than one generation per year. So what you may want to do is put some diatomaceous earth around the bottom of the lilies. This is going to be hard because every time diatomaceous earth gets wet, it loses its effectiveness. But what you're trying to do is when the larvae come up, you're trying to make them scratch their bodies on the diatomaceous earth and die. That's kind of bad. Then cut down your lilies a little earlier toward the fall than you normally would. And keep adding diatomaceous earth because the larvae keep coming up and they do overwinter in the soil. So start that diatomaceous earth right again in the spring. Just gently and kind of scruffle it into the soil around the plant and keep applying it. Maybe every time it gets wet or whenever, you're going to have to do a lot of that. Do clean up the debris really well in the fall. Put it in a bag and don't send it to the compost bin. Put it in a bag and just get rid of it or burn it. And just keep after it. You can get ahead of them. We need a nice winter to kill all the beetles, but they are pretty destructive. So good luck with that, Dan. And now I'm ready for the next question, Danny.
Good deal. All right. Thanks for that. Texter says, my soil in my garden is so hard, it's hard for me to grow good-sized onions or others in ground veggies. What can I do to add to my soil to loosen it up in the years down the road?
Okay. What you want to do is make sure you're not walking on your soil, so try not to walk where you're going to put the onions. And then you can add some nice compost, mix that well into the soil. You may even want to add some perlite that you would get at the garden center or a garden store and mix that into the soil, too. That will kind of add little spacers into the soil, sort of what it does. But the compost will really help loosen up that soil for you. And make sure in the wintertime, when we start going into winter, that you do cover the soil with either leaves or straw. You want to protect that soil top so it doesn't get damaged by the by the snow and the frost and everything else.
Okay. Texter says this: one of my Echinacea coneflower plants has reddish green foliage. Is this normal or does it have a problem?
I'm not sure what it could be. One deficiency. If it's a special kind of Echinacea, I don't think that they're growing them for weird colored foliage. So it's probably not that. But if it's just one plant, I would just watch that plant very carefully. I don't think Aster Yellows presents like that in the foliage. It's more the flower, so you don't have to worry about that I'm aware of. I would just watch it, maybe give a little compost or a little fertilizer to the plants in that area just to correct if there's some micronutrient that's missing. And I would just watch the plant.
Okay. Tomato plant question. In the past, Texter says our tomatoes have gotten tomato blossom end rot or giving us rotten tomatoes. What can we do to prevent that?
Okay, so the short question is it's your fault because you aren't watering correctly. Sometimes we get too much rain, not enough. We overwater, we underwater, we let it go dry, and the plant just... the roots die, and there's less roots in there to bring up the calcium that's needed to create to finish off the flower. There's not enough healthy calcium in the plant. So you don't want to add calcium to your soil. That's not going to help. Our soils are fine the way they are. What you want to do is make sure that you even out the watering so the soil stays moist all the time, just slightly moist like a rock sponge. That would be the perfect atmosphere for it, or the perfect soil, the moisture in the soil. So just balance out the watering. You can still eat those tomatoes with blossom end rot. Just cut off the rotten part on the end. You can grow varieties that fruit later in the season so that they go past, they're bigger, and they go past that time when you have the small plant getting impacted by uneven watering. If we get a whole bunch of rain, there's nothing you can really do about that, so you just have to deal with it and hope your tomato gets through it okay. Also, the smaller varieties, like the cherry tomatoes, aren't going to get blossom end rot. They don't need as much for each little fruit, so their fruits complete okay. Some Roma tomatoes will also not get blossom end rot. So, and if you put them in the ground, your plants in the ground, you often have less chance of overwatering or underwatering. It's those pots that dry out so quickly that we mess it up with not watering properly. Mm. So even watering is what you're looking for.
Very good. This listener had a garage built doing significant landscaping around it. They say we have some 2 and 3 year old cattle compost. How much compost can we mix with the dug up soil that they've had since the construction? What do you think a ratio?
You know, I used to tell. Okay, that's a good question. I used to tell people, oh, just put it all in. But now I'm thinking, like, if you want to do a 4-to-1, so 4 part soil to 1 part compost would be fine. And then you can just leave that, the rest of it sit and still compost, and then just add some more compost at the end of the season. And then just keep adding at the beginning and the end of each season would be just fine till you use up your stock of compost. So probably about a quarter. So if you can think 25% per compost and then the other part per soil.
Okay. Listener says this, Teresa: my lawn company just sprayed for grubs on Wednesday, but I have a hedge of cotoneaster that the Asian beetles are already on. Were the grubs sprayed too late, do you think?
Probably not. If there's grubs in the soil, they sometimes, they it's
No, it's fine. I would be out there though with your bucket of soapy water and knocking off those, if what you mean is Japanese beetles, knocking off those beetles as quickly as possible. When you see Japanese beetles, the first ones that come out when they start eating on the plant, that the plant then secretes a pheromone or a smell that attracts other beetles. It's kind of like when you smell a good barbecue in the neighborhood, you might, oh, I want to go over to that house. So you want to knock back that first initial population as quickly and as thoroughly as you can so that the smell of something being eaten does not waft through the air and attract more beetles. And you should be fine. Good luck.
Another question from a listener. When should boxwoods be trimmed?
I would go to the extension website for sure, but I think you can trim them now. And the last trimming would probably be August 1st if you're making a nice tight hedge. But go ahead and trim them to shape now would be just fine.
All right, very good. We need to take a quick break. We'll do that very thing, and when we come back, we'll grab another phone call. Catherine, you're going to be next, so don't go away here on our Smart Garden Show. News Talk 830 WCCO. Another phone call. Catherine, you're going to be next, so don't go away here on our Smart Garden Show. News Talk 830 WCCO. Minutes of our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering all of those lawn and garden questions. Teresa, we still have so many, and we can see how many we get to. But let's grab another phone call. Catherine's been waiting there in Blaine. Catherine, thank you. What is your question?
Good morning, guys. Thanks so much. I really appreciate this. I love your show. Anyway, what I was going to ask was, okay, so I've got endless summer hydrangeas that I just put in. They're beautiful. So how can I assure that they're going to come back next year? What do I need to do for fertilizer? And I know that loamus is the right kind of, soil that you need. But what is the fertilizer that I need to get for that?
Okay, Catherine, thanks for waiting. You were very patient, and we love you too. Now, what you want for the endless summer is they like a nice, rich soil. So you can always add compost. If you want to make color of the flower go blue, you need to add a fertilizer that will be acidic. So it'll say for azaleas and pine trees and something like that, it can be a granular or a water where you mix it up. If you don't care if they turn blue, pink, purple, whatever color of flower, then just add a regular 10-10-10 fertilizer that you would add to your garden. So any of your garden plants, they need moderate sun. So not maybe bright, bright sun, but they need more sun than just the shade azalea might take. So your Annabelles were okay in the shade. These endless summers need a little bit more sun. Don't cut them down in the fall. You may want to protect them so the rabbits don't eat them. And then in the spring, they're sometimes slow to emerge, slow to wake up. So just be patient in the spring. Cut back what's dead in the spring. And then if you need to, if it gets really big and bushy, you can trim it to shape, whatever you want to do. Some get big, some get small. It just depends on the plants. They're kind of uneven in that respect. But they are a heavy feeder. So do feed them once a month, probably at the first of the month or whenever, up until the first part of August, and then stop feeding them. And they should be, you should have a good plant there. Good luck, Catherine. Yeah, good luck.
Very good. Very good. This listener, Teresa, has a peace plant which was so large, they divided it into three, gave one to each of the children, kept one. Theirs have continued to blossom. Since I've done the split, mine has stopped blossoming. I'm wondering if I stop fertilizing it, just giving it water, will that help? And perhaps maybe they're fertilizing it too much, or she is.
You know, you may want to back off on the fertilizing to your peace plant or peace lily. Half strength would be fine. Maybe every other week do that. They kind of like a little smaller pot, so they often bloom when they get a little tight. So that was a big stress on the plant to just be divided like that. It could be that the other plant parts had a little more little more root system to them, so they came back a little faster, so everybody else's looks better. make sure it's not in a huge pot. If you need to repot it now is a good time. Go ahead and repot it into a nice sized pot, so it's not too big, not too tiny. And then just fertilize at half strength and keep it happy. It'll bloom for you again. Just be patient with it.
All right. Listener wants to know, Teresa, when is the best time to move my overcrowded irises and what's the best procedure?
Okay, so the best time to move your irises is after they finish blooming, and then wait about 6 to 8 weeks later, or 6 weeks later. That'll probably put you in the, you know, the end of July into August. And then the best way to do that is to cut back the leaves to about 6 inches, so you'll have all these fans, and then lift the corms. They kind of look like bulbs, but lift the corms, divide them as you want, and irises walk, so they'll move in one direction, and you'll be able to see you have the mother corm, and then there'll be daughter corms coming off of that, and that's the direction that the iris will walk in the future. So plant them so they walk away from each other a little bit. That will help. And then when you do replant them, make sure you leave the back of the corm slightly above the soil so you can see that. Plant them back into a nice compost soil, so with some compost, and they'll be fine. They should even bloom for you next year, probably, if the daughters are big enough. And irises are beautiful. Good luck with that. Those are for the bearded iris.
A couple of minutes to go in the show, Teresa. Here's another one. How deep to dig up a volunteer pin oak that is about a foot tall?
You know, that's going to have a pretty deep root, so I'd go down maybe a foot or deeper if you can. You may accidentally hurt that root there, but go down probably about a foot, and then carefully move it, and then go ahead and plant it, and you should be okay. Make sure it's planted in the right spot and that you don't replant it deeply. You want to replant it how it is in the soil.
Oh, okay. This listener's rhubarb plant has declined in healthy hardiness over the last 2 years. The stalks are now small. The leaves turn yellow. What should I do to return it to normal?
Rhubarb can be heavy feeders, so do add some compost to the soil or some fertilizer. If you can add some organic drainage to the soil, that will help. And make sure that you're not overwatering or underwatering it. And then look up, because sometimes when we plant things, trees grow and they start to shade those areas, and we're not aware of that. Your rhubarb really wants full sun. So if it's not in full sun, you may want to just either dig it up right now or immediately, or wait till next year and then move it to a full sun spot with a good, rich, compost-rich soil.
All right, 60 seconds or less to go, and you know what? I'd like to remind our listeners to check out. You even mentioned, as we always like to do, Ask a Master Gardener, but there's so many things to find from the university's website.
There's amazing things on extension.un.edu, flowers and trees and shrubs and lawns. Oh, my. You can also learn about classes. I just signed up this morning for an insect class, and it's a series, and it's free. So go ahead and look at the Extension website and ask a master gardener. You can send them information there.
Yeah, extension.umn.edu. And don't forget to head to the Arboretum. Teresa, always a pleasure. I know we're going to do this again.
We will. It's my pleasure, Denny. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney here on A3OWCCO. 58 degrees right now. Should be clearing out with highs around 76. We'll get to details in a moment. Stay with us. News Talk A3O. This is WCCO.